The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want the good news, you want the bad news?
I don't like either one of those options.
Your words are super wise, man.
You are a prophet. You deserve a prophet.
You do whatever you want. Who am I to tell you what to do?
But you're a psychologist.
Well, I know less than you do.
You're making me a better parent and a better wife, and thank God you're on the radio.
What planet are you on? I don't buy any of that stuff.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
What are you talking about?
You make my afternoon really fun. Enjoy you.
You're about the most exciting thing I have right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Been doing some addition here. If I allow the bumper music coming in from every break to go on for 15 seconds... before I start talking, I've calculated that in 4 months, I will have essentially given myself one free show. Yeah, you know that, Barb? That's right. Well, one free show. You told. Look it up. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray. I did cut that bumper music a little short because I wanted to be with you. Glad to be with you. 877. You got that? 573-7825. Now, those are not easy numbers to remember. There's no rhyme or reason to those numbers. So 877-57-EQUAL is an acronymically way to remember it. 877-57-EQUAL. Why would you want the number? Well, you might not. As a matter of fact, you might simply say, those numbers have no use to me. But it could be. So maybe you want to ask a question about something in your life, person, place, thing, rock, paper, scissors, or your own life. Maybe something that's upsetting you, distressing you, or you think it should upset you and distress you, and it doesn't. You're wondering, what's wrong with me? I had a great question yesterday that the gentleman did not stay on the line. It was a tremendous question. I would have absolutely jumped all over it. He said, I don't get upset like I think I should. I hear about tragedy and I don't cry, but yet if I hear a beautiful song, I cry. What's going on with me? I would have loved to talk to him, but apparently he wasn't upset enough to talk to me. Or sometimes people call in because they say, was that you that... No, it wasn't. Oh, the free advice there, Eric. People say, I don't really understand a word that I heard, a psychological word, a diagnostic word, an intellectual word, an emotional word. This stuff is coming up in the media all the time. People coin new psychological problems, new psychological afflictions all the time. Middle child syndrome. That's not a disorder. Middle child syndrome. Midlife crisis, it's not a disorder either, but those kinds of things just pop up everywhere. So maybe you want to know what that means. What else? A lot of people call in here to get some days off their purgatory. How do they do that? Well, they offer helpful advice to somebody else. Now, I don't know exactly the amount of time off of purgatory because there's no time, as we understand it anyway, in the afterlife, but might get a little extra credit. 877 57 equal. I would love to hear from you. Yesterday, when I said we have 9 lines, they almost immediately filled up, which is interesting because it's like people think, well, I'm not calling in because I can't get through. And then when I say, no, you can get through, they call in. So same thing. Lines are always open at the top of the program. Every once in a while, we have somebody hanging on from yesterday. I guess they had to go to the bathroom at least some point or maybe take a nap, but they wanted to get first in the Q. 877-57-EQUAL. Children are incredibly slick. What makes them most slick is they don't even realize they're slick. They're naturally slick. Let me give you one classic example. Parents will tell me that their child who is giving them behavior problems, and the parent will ask the child about their impulses, about their conduct, about their emotions, trip switch. The child will say something like, I don't know, I just feel like there's an animal inside of me, and that animal is uncontrollable, and that animal just has to get out. Or they might say something like, I always feel like I'm the one in this family that nobody loves. Or they might say something like, well, when I was in the womb, I remember thinking. Now, this is not to minimize a child trying to explain to you in their little mind. Now, keep in mind, these are not, by and large, sophisticated creatures. Why in their little mind they're doing what they do. Parents are vulnerable because they hear something like this and they think, oh, this is potentially a much more psychologically based problem than just a kid who is 8 years old and is not controlling his impulses or his emotions or knows how to read my lack of discipline. No, the child knows. Some of them do know, by the way, that if they offer an explanation that sounds psychologically a little tricky, a little complex, that the parents will, rather than approach this simply, in most cases it can be approached simply, as a particular discipline challenge, that it means something more. Kids are good at doing this. Some of them, the older kids, calculatedly do it. The little kids, they don't really understand their own motives, so they stretch to try to figure out why is it that he just punched his sister for the 9th time this month. It couldn't just simply be that his sister made him upset, and as an 8-year-old, he swung first and asked questions later. No. He could say something like, well, I don't know, because I really don't want to do it, but there's a part of me that just makes me do it, and I can't stop it. Now, see, doesn't that sound a little more psychologically tricky? He doesn't want to do it, see? But he does it. So, therefore, what's psychologically going on? Or he might say, I wasn't like this. I wasn't like this until you had that baby. That baby's what it is. See? You had another kid. You added to the sibling group. And so, therefore, he's becoming more defiant because of that. This is not to trivialize what kids tell you. Matter of fact, you can take what they tell you and run with it. You can say, well, you know, honey, that monster inside you that makes you swing at your sister is something we got to get under control. Now I'm going to help you do that. Okay, so you can acknowledge this supposed monster, but you still have to deal with it. Or if he says it's because you had that new baby, what are you going to do? You going to give that baby back? You could say, well, honey, that baby's here to stay. So I got to tell you, when you do that, here's what we're going to do. I have parents in my office all the time. If I ask them, well, what kind of explanation did your 9-year-old give you for his behavior? And I should have been writing these down all these years. They're incredible. Some of them are based upon, I'm 9 years old and I really don't have any idea why I do what I do, so let me come up with something. Others, they're a little smarter about that. My son was like that. He, by age 6 or 7 or 8, he was really good at coming up with psychologically sophisticated explanations for his impulses. really good. And another couple kids never did that because they couldn't think fast enough, but he could. He could think really quick. So, one time, one of my sons said to his mother when he was about six, "I don't have to listen to you. You're not my..." And my wife said, "I'm not your what? You're not my coach." Thought quick on that one. Proud of him. So, what I'm saying is, don't necessarily be so quick to be flummoxed, to be scared, to be unsettled. When a child gives you an explanation to his impulsive or his difficult or his defiant or his challenging conduct, because much of the time it's just because he's the age he is, he's the temperament he is, the discipline dynamics are what they are, and therefore he's searching for an explanation. This one sounds as good as any. Now, I'm going to take a break right now. And the reason I'm doing this is because, well, I just have to tell you that sometimes I just feel neglected. I just feel you people neglect me. When you don't call, it just makes me want to take more breaks, and that's the explanation. Doc.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
I encourage you to look at a report that came out several years ago by Americans United for Life. It's called Unsafe. And this idea, it's something else that has been pushed out there by the media and by Planned Parenthood and other pro-abortion organizations, that there are all these safety measures that were put into place when Roe versus Wade became legal. But as Father Frank Pavone and so many others say, abortion never, ever, ever changed, really. It went from the back alley to Main Street with little or no restrictions or protections. Many of the independent abortion facilities are less regulated than your local nail salon or hair salon. The fact that they have to, quote unquote, work on their messaging shows that we are making a difference.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Let it play. Earning a little more time off as I let it go. A lot of great questions up there, but Kathleen called yesterday, and she was on the program at the end, and the rule is your time is as valuable as mine. So she earns top spot. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
You know, I'm not going to go 7 years without talking to you. I'm not. Well, just want you to know that.
Is somebody there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Okay. Sorry.
I just wanted you to know I'm not going to go 7 years without talking to you.
Oh, that's nice to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm really struggling because my son got married at a really young age. And, of course, I, as a mom, was very kind of protective, my only child. And I just said, really, I just said, because he was 20 years old, I go, you guys just don't want to date for a little bit and I can get to know her a little bit or something like that? Well, that was the
wrong thing to say.
Wait a minute. You know, was that all you said in that tone of voice?
Yeah, basically, I mean, you know what? I can't even remember everything I said because it was a long time ago. And she's now bringing it back up like I was not nice. Like, you don't like me. She's just throwing out all this stuff. And so I'm supposed to apologize to her, which is fine. Except I don't know how to apologize for what I don't know what I said, except other than what I just told you.
Okay, I got a question. Well, that's obvious I got a question because I'm going to ask it. In the last 7 years, have you had social wrinkles with your daughter-in-law? In other words, you two don't necessarily get along so smoothly.
Well, it's not like we don't really get along. We just don't communicate a lot. She doesn't say, hey, how you doing? I didn't always do that to her. On the holidays, I would say, you know, happy 4th of July or whatever, and hope you guys are doing well now and then.
You don't see them. You don't see them hardly at all.
No, I don't see them. Right, I don't see them hardly at all.
Oh. Well, my guess would be it wasn't that remark. It was that she took that remark as a springboard onto this continuous template that she has, which is, my mother-in-law doesn't like me. My mother-in-law didn't want me to marry her son. My mother-in-law doesn't really reach out to me. My mother-in-law is cool, not meaning cool in a nice way, meaning cool in chilly. So therefore, I don't really want to put a whole lot of effort. And that one remark, whatever it was that she's clinging to, summarizes for her this idea that you really wish she didn't marry your son.
I think that's the truth. I really do. And I never said that, ever. But, I don't know.
Here's what you do. First of all, for your son's sake, you know, you don't have to like this woman to treat her nice. Understand that. People make that mistake all the time. I got to like you to be nice to you. No, you don't. That's the first thing.
Okay.
You treat her nice. Treat her good. Reach out and be nice to her. Don't just say, happy 4th of July. Say, hey, what are you guys going to do today? You want to come over? Just something. Something to reach out.
Right.
Secondly, for your son's sake, he may not like the way this is, but he's got to choose and he's got to live with her. So he's choosing her, and
that's
you're taking that personal. It's like, I can't believe my son is doing this to me. Well, he may not have any choice. That's two. Three. If you want to ask her, what did I say? Please tell me what I said back when that really upset you, because I want to know what it is, and I want to tell you how sorry I am for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Because
I didn't even know what to say.
Here's the thing. A lot of times you got to apologize when you don't think you did anything wrong. That happens all the time in relationships. And you know you have to apologize because the other person is either hypersensitive or misinterpreted it or ran with some meaning that just eats away at them. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't have anything to apologize for. And with a reasonable, even-tempered individual, you probably didn't. But if you're dealing with someone who is insecure or prone to misinterpret or has interpreted the last 7 years as, well, you sort of been living the fact that you didn't want me to marry him, what you got to do is you got to fix that. Even if she's difficult, this is your son's wife. It really behooves you to get along with her.
Well, of course.
I know.
Of course. And
you've
that's
been
what I want to do.
Well, you've been laying that aside for 7 years.
I don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. My son told me, because I would ask him now and then, are you sure everything's okay between her and I and you? Oh, yeah, everything's fine. So, you know, all along I thought, okay, I guess we're all right. I mean, I'm not close to her. I'm not going to be close to her. I think you even mentioned yesterday about sometimes you just aren't that close to your in-laws, or someone did. I don't remember. And I'm thinking, you know, it's not going to be the same thing. I only have one son, but it's not going to be the same as me having a daughter and a son. It's not going to be the same. I don't know.
It isn't, but because you have one son, you want to do everything you can to get along warmly with this woman to the degree that she will allow it.
Right, right. Yes, exactly. I do. I really do.
I think your son is telling you everything's fine because he doesn't want to get into the drama. He doesn't want to deal with it. He may think that you're overreacting and he's trying to settle you down and he's tried to settle his wife down. So maybe you could ask your son, hey, I just got a question. For the last 7 years or so, have I not been as nice as I could be?
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, I really have tried to be nice because I've been kind of on pins and needles. I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing.
What do you mean the right thing? Since when is it not the right thing to say you're sorry for something that you're not sure what you did, but you want to make it well? You want to make it right?
Well, yeah. He wants me to say exactly what I did. I said, how am I supposed to remember seven years ago?
Ask her.
I'll ask her what I said made her
and
upset.
You tell her. No. You say, what did I say? Because I want to apologize for it.
Because when you say,
I want to know what I said that made you upset, it makes it sound like, you took upset at something I said, huh?
Oh, okay.
Kathleen, do I got to do all this thinking for you?
I'm sorry, but I just, I've just been struggling. I came back to Ohio because we live in South Carolina, and we saw him more than we saw her, and,
I know. Warm it up. Warm that relationship up. Okay?
I know. I want to. So just, I need a prayer, too. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. Take care.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye, honey. Well, she apologized to me. Did you notice that? I said, Kathleen, I got to do all this thinking for you. She goes, I'm sorry. She didn't have anything to apologize. She didn't do anything wrong. Let's go to Rick. Rick from Florida. This is real common. I mean, if you got a young adult kid, the chances are they are living with someone and not married more than they are not married. That's the statistics. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Doc. How are you?
Okay, buddy.
The quick question, just looking for some advice. So my wife and I are both Catholic. We raised the children Catholic as soon as they got out of the house. They started to drift away, as you hear from everybody these days. And my oldest is living with a guy, and she doesn't come home very often. And we have space in the house, so I'm inclined to tell her that when they come home that he's going to have his own bedroom and they're not going to cohabitate. I can't control outside of my own house, but in my house, I should be able to influence her. And the concern with her mother especially is that if we make it slightly uncomfortable for her, she might not come home and or not bring him. And that's been a real challenge for us in the past as it is. So,
is your wife more skittish about that than you are?
No. She's more skittish about the child not coming, my daughter not coming to visit.
That's what I mean. She's more afraid that if you do that, your daughter's going to say, well, I'm not coming in.
Yeah.
All right. So does your wife have veto power over that? In other words, she'll say, well, Rick, forget it. You can't do that.
No, we work together pretty well on this, and she'll probably go with my recommendation. But at the end of the day, I'm also somewhat concerned that I can stand on my principles and not see my daughter for here. And I don't want that to necessarily be the end of this.
If you have a moral principle... Okay, stay right there, Rick, because I will be back with you after the break. Line open, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. This is Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me.
Why?
Why is the church always considered holy? The church is held to be holy because Jesus Christ, who alone with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is holy. He loved the church as his bride. The Catholic Catechism tells us he gave himself up for her so as to sanctify her and endow her with the gift of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. United with Christ, the church is sanctified by Christ. With him and through him, she becomes sanctifying. All the activities of the church are directed toward the sanctification of persons in Christ and the glorification of God. It is in the church that, by the grace of God, we acquire holiness. The church on earth already is endowed with real, though imperfect, sanctity. In her members, perfect holiness is yet to be acquired, though all members are called to perfect holiness. Charity is considered the soul of holiness. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Now that the abortion problem has been returned to the states, we will most likely be called upon to give a reason for our pro-life activism. But this is more than a mere political issue. It's an opportunity to present the gospel of life. It's an opportunity to demonstrate the kingdom's view of this world and of human life. And the central question in this dispute is going to be, what is the status of preborn human life? Many Christians need to recognize that, yes, we have to do the political thing, but we have greater opportunities here. We have an opportunity to engage people about the very meaning of life itself. I mean, that's why John Paul II wrote the Gospel of Life. He didn't just write some sort of political anti-abortion tract, right? He's talked about the Gospel of Life.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
There you go. I just earned 755th of a free show by letting that play on 20 extra seconds. Talking to Rick from Florida. Rick, you still there?
Yes, sir.
How old is your daughter?
25, about to be 26.
How long has she been with this guy?
About 2 years.
2 years. Okay, so this is definitely a relationship here. So you're going to have to learn to accept him, right? You've done that.
I have, but he hasn't come to visit us more than once. Wow. So I don't have a whole lot of practical application of that acceptance.
How far away do they live?
5 hours.
Okay. Well, it's far enough to have distance, but yet at the same time, he could have come more than once in 2 years. So, for whatever the reason, either she's told him stuff about you, that you guys are religious and that you don't like that they're living together, and he's saying, well, if they don't like it, then they don't like me, and I'm not coming, or something along those lines.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
If you say, in my home, my moral beliefs are that if you're not married, you don't sleep in the same bed. You have every right to do that. Now, your daughter, I think if she were fair-minded about this, would say, well, I don't agree, but it is my dad's house and it is their morals, and I want to respect that. Unfortunately, Rick, we now live in a culture that says you're not allowed to have your beliefs. You better accept any way that I choose to live. And if you don't, you're the problem. That's where we're at. So if you're asking me personally what I would do, I would say, no, honey, I want you to visit and I want you to bring your boyfriend. He's welcome here. However, you're not going to be staying in the same bed. I hope that doesn't mean you're not coming. That's what I would do. And if she says, well, we're not coming, then I'd have to say, well, I'm going to live according to what the Lord said. If I'm sticking to the principles that he has taught me, then I realize that much of the world's not going to agree, and that world may include my children.
Yep. All right. Well, I appreciate your advice, Doc. That gives me perspective. Thank you.
It's one of those things, Rick, you know, where unfortunately when you stand on your deeply held principles that you believe are given by God, these are not, Rick has his principles and his daughter has hers. At one level, that's true. But at another level, if there is a God, then this is your understanding and teaching of God's principles. So it's a little more important than this, your daughter's personal opinion. And if you say, well, I'm going to live according to what I truly believe God wants me to live, and I'm going to have to take the repercussions. I may have a daughter that says to me, then we're not coming. And we're not coming ever again. I hope not. I hope she doesn't do that. But you didn't push her away. She decided that if you don't adhere to her terms, then you are not part of her life. That's extreme, but unfortunately, there's so much of that going on.
Yeah.
Can I give you a personal confession?
Sure.
I would be mad. If one of my children said to me, you must absolutely accept any way that I choose to live, and furthermore, you must not only accept it, but applaud it, or if you don't, get out of my life. Now, see, I'd look at something like that and I'd say, you know, I raised this child. I gave so much of my heart, my money, my time to this child. And this child turns on me like this? See, that would upset me. Not upset in a way of hurt, upset in the way of mad. Now, I wouldn't act on it. I wouldn't call them up and read them the riot act. I wouldn't. I wouldn't do any of that. They probably wouldn't even know I'm mad. But my attitude would be how ungrateful you are.
Yeah, I'm there, but I'm trying to live in the end result, not in the emotion. I'm also upset. It's also very offensive that any a consolation if it came to that, I would want to say you have that little respect for me that you can't make that kind of an accommodation for a weekend.
Yeah,
you
know? And that's fair enough. That's fair enough to say.
Right.
Yeah. You want me to accept you, but you won't accept me. I know your wife, when it gets closer and closer and it becomes apparent that your daughter may not, then I think your wife could wobble.
Yeah, she loves her. I mean, I get it.
Well, you do too.
I do, but I'm more practical, I think, about the issue.
No, she's practical.
Fair point.
You're principled.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good luck to you, Rick.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Doc.
All righty, sir. Thanks for calling. Our Lord said, I have come to set, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not sure I'm getting my relatives right here, father against son, mother against daughter-in-law. In other words, family member against family member. Many of you are experiencing that right now. You're trying to live your faith as you believe and understand it, with as much charity as you can muster. You know, Rick is not writing his daughter off. He loves his daughter. He's not saying, get out of my life. He's not saying, okay, if you're going to live with this guy, don't ever come around here. He's not saying any of that. All he's saying is, please don't ask me to compromise my deep-held moral beliefs in my own home. That's all he's asking. And if she says, the daughter says, well, then if you don't do it my way, you won't see me. What does that say about the daughter? I hope this doesn't cause a rift between Rick and his wife. You know, she's saying, that's our daughter, and we can't do anything that could push her away. Well, then basically what you're saying is, I will have to agree with everything she does on her terms, or I'll push her away. Equal. I definitely want to hear from you. By the way, as we're approaching the holiday seasons, you got some questions on the holidays here to reduce some of your holiday stress. I'd like to hear them, Dr. Ray.
'60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. This commandment is wide-ranging in its implications. It forbids us not only from committing the very act of adultery, but also other sexual sins such as fornication or premarital sex, watching pornography, and speaking lewdly. Likewise, homosexual acts and acts of masturbation are also forbidden us. And the Lord himself even enjoins us to a purity of mind that we should not freely entertain lustful thoughts. And so it's wide-ranging, it's challenging, but it's in service of the great sacredness of human life, which comes from sexual activity. So we thank God for this great gift of sexuality, and we ask for his grace to live it with great reverence. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
Yeah, the banjos. Banjo's one of those things that it's really hard to be depressed when you hear a banjo, you know? I mean, you can be depressed when you hear a violin, maybe even a harp. Not a banjo. And not a harmonica either. Well, depends how it's played. Daniel from Washington State, he's got a comment here. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for calling, buddy. What's up?
Absolutely.
You still there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're up.
Okay, so I just wanted to say that Rick maybe had it wrong a little bit in that this time of year it's important to bring the flock home, even if they're a little unruly. Some people have kids and family that are really out there, and we got to bring them home this time of year and remind them about the couple that couldn't find anywhere to stay. They couldn't go. They had to stay in a manger and have a baby. And now's the time to bring them home and coach them back to your, you know, the way we live. If you can.
Okay, are you saying that then it would behoove him to say, please come home, and if you guys want to sleep in the spare bedroom during the 3 days you're here, that's fine with us.
I think it would. I mean, maybe it's not fine with you, but sometimes you got to bite your tongue and hope that things turn out better. And I know that as people age, they change in their own values, and maybe being around a couple people like Rick and his wife that are structured and principled, the daughter will kind of go, you know what? This is where I was raised. This is how I was raised. And as people mature, you know, she might find her way home.
Couple of thoughts on that, Daniel. First of all, if the daughter is going to say, being around my parents is opening my eyes to how they live, well, first of all, they're not living that way, because they're saying, daughter, however you live is fine with us. That's what they're saying. Okay, so there isn't a contrast here.
Absolutely. I agree with you. But the reason, you know, not the whole reason we go to church, but one of the reasons we go and we listen to people get up there and preach, and they give us lessons, you know, and sometimes that lesson comes at home. Maybe she didn't figure all that out, but, you know, home could be your church too, and you go home and see how your folks live and see
Daniel,
how they pledge
does,
each other.
Does he have the right as the dad in his home to say, I don't approve of you doing that in my home? Does he have that right?
He has that right 100%, but sometimes, you know, we look at other religions that aren't as graceful as ours and see the draconian rules they place and how it's affecting other nations and peoples. And sometimes it's better just to, you know, take care of yourself and hope she sees the light you're putting out.
What light? But what light?
Well, him and his wife are together and principled. And
well,
in 2022, just even living together is something else.
Was she raised in their home?
Yeah, but then she, you know, we send our kids off into the world.
Right. So she saw for 20 years or however many years how her parents live and what they wish to teach her, correct?
Yeah, but this boyfriend might be something, he might be something pretty tempting.
Well, I understand that, but they're not saying don't come home. And they're not saying we don't love you, and they're not saying we don't want to meet your boyfriend. They're simply saying this one thing, we really don't want you to sleep in the same bed in our home, because we would feel that we would be condoning that. And you're saying, well, if they allow her to come home, then maybe she's going to see, in fact, she'll have second thoughts about doing all this. I think that's a stretch. I think she'll have second thoughts. You know what I think she'll have second thoughts with, Daniel, to tell you the truth? If that relationship goes sour, that's where I think she'll have second thoughts. If this guy, living with this guy, turns out not to be what she thought it was, then I think she may look back at her parents and say, you know, it didn't work out, and maybe there's a reason why God says not to do this.
Yeah. Maybe.
Where would you personally draw the line, Daniel? If you had a son,
man,
where would you draw the line?
It's a really hard thing, but I feel like when I was younger, my folks, it was the opposite situation. I was quote-unquote good, and they were quote-unquote bad. And once you sever those ties, you don't get those people back, and it doesn't take very much in the form of, you know, structure or whatever to make people make that distance, and losing your daughter over something like that. And that ultimately, you know, it's going to be up to her how she lives her life. And I understand what you're saying, and maybe they need to get a hotel down the road. That's an option, isn't it? But
yeah, it is.
At the same time, you know, they just only have so many years to be with your family, and if you...
You know what, my friend, I think you're speaking not so much from your own morality, but I think you're speaking from your own history.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and sometimes you just have to have Seb grace, and if these people were total strangers caught in a snowstorm, would you let them in?
Well, of course. You can't make that equivalence. And you made another equivalence, Dan, you have to be careful about. You said, well, you know, look in some of these other countries with these draconian laws that they have regarding morality. These are not, his dad does not have a draconian law regarding morality. He's not saying, you come into this house and you better have a burqa wrapped around your head and I don't want you to even touch this boy and don't even talk. He's not saying any of that. He's just saying, here is my limit. And you're saying, well, he could lose his daughter over this. That's what his wife's worried about. The question then becomes, when our Lord said, I have come to bring a sword, is what he said. People are going to get mixed up and depart because of me. He said that. So how does that happen? If everything that you do is absolutely okay with me, and I will, in fact, go along with it, applaud it, celebrate it, then do I have any standards? I have no standards. I know what you're saying, Daniel, and I certainly understand your situation in terms of your history. I got that, my friend. So thank you for the call. Thank you for your perspective. This is Dr. A. I'll be back.
The Encounter Conference, December 28th through the 30th at the DeVos Place Convention Center in Grand Rapids, Michigan. 13 powerful speakers. Do you want more?
The truth is, brothers and sisters, there is no solution to the cultural and church crisis but Jesus Christ the Lord, alive in a church that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Period. That's it. He's finding out right now who's with me, who wants to live in the Spirit of God, who wants to follow me. That's what he's doing. It's going to be a work of God for the glory of the Father, the Father glorifying the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit through a people who are alive to him and are proclaiming him with everything they've got.
Register today at EncounterConference.org. That's EncounterConference.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I told him about the woman who came to me and said her two children hadn't spoken to each other for 2 years. Their grandma died and she was very wealthy. She left half to each one. She said they're arguing over a commode. She said it's inlaid. Can you imagine being in hell and somebody saying to you, what are you here for?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Did you know Franciscan University of Steubenville offers a Master's of Arts in Catholic Studies? Our unique program offers courses from many academic disciplines: literature, biology, art, theology, psychology, all taught from a distinctly Catholic perspective. This 100% online program can be completed in just 1 year. Learn to see the world through a Catholic lens with a Master's in Catholic Studies from Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu/mcs.
Well, we got some people wanting to comment, that's for sure, about all this. Brought out the comments, which is okay. Marie from Florida, she said, I was kind of living as Rick's daughter is living when I was younger. Hi, Marie, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
You sound young.
I'm actually in my early 40s.
Oh, you're a kid. Just a kid.
Thank you. But speaking of kid, I know exactly where Rick's daughter was at because I was that daughter. And just wanted to kind of shed some light to Rick if he's still hearing, if he's still listening to the program, just that don't give up on her. You know, I know he's not, but if she's not willing to visit them with the boyfriend, 2 years, she's 25. I mean, I didn't end up with the guy I was with at 25, you know, and anybody, I realized if I was willing to compromise my values and I was with someone who was willing to accept me and live with me that way, they didn't have their best interest my best interest at heart.
Did you come to that conclusion?
Because he treated me like dirt.
That's kind of what I said, wasn't it? I said, you know, this the one thing that could make this daughter return to her family is this relationship starts getting very turbulent.
Well, it got turbulent, but because it got turbulent, I was so embarrassed that I kept not visiting my family. And so what changed and what made me realize things was that I started having, my cousins were starting to like say, well, if the mountain's not going to come to me, I'm going to go to the mountain. And they would visit me. And it was, you know, it was more than when I would visit them for sure. And as soon as I knew, you know, they were reflecting back to me who I am in my family, where my values were, where, what was, what my good nature was, and that this person definitely was not speaking to my goodness, you know? And so,
yeah, well, you had to listen to your cousins, not your mom and dad.
When I came around back to my mom, it was like the prodigal son. I absolutely identified with that story. I came back home broke. I came back home broken. I came back home tired, exhausted, and my mom had no questions for me, just that I'm glad you're home. And, I, apparently I'm a slow learner because I did it two more times. I lived with three men total in my life, and I was like, never again, not doing this, because I didn't learn anything.
Isn't this interesting? Mm-hmm. You drew a parallel between you and Rick's daughter. You said, yeah. Hey, I found out when I was living with this guy, that didn't work out, and I realized that my parents knew what they were talking about. And I thought, okay, Marie had that. But then you did it two more times, so you didn't learn the first time around.
I did. I'm a slow learner.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, like this isn't – I have not ended up with any of those three people, and never again. Like, I was just like, no, this, I had to draw the line in the sand. And I was just like, what, you know, finally, when I did get married, it was like, it's completely different when you're living with someone, when you're married, versus I felt like all those other times it was just rebellion and immaturity. And, you know, so it was just kind of like, you know, it was a hard, hard lesson for me to learn, but I didn't have both parents. I had, you know, I was raised by a single mom. My dad died when I was 14. So, you know, I think I was seeking, I was definitely seeking, you know, something else for sure.
Yeah, the old daddy issues, you know? Stuff kicking in, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Marie, you provoked in me a thought that it didn't occur to me while I was talking to Rick. And obviously, when you're talking 4 minutes on a radio call, you can't think of anywhere near everything. But you said that if the mountain isn't going to come to you, if you're not going to go to the mountain, the mountain's going to come to you. So your relatives, your cousins, came and visited you. And I neglected to suggest, well, Rick, how about if your daughter, worst case scenario, says, I'm not coming home, then make arrangements for you and your wife at some point to go see her.
Yeah, keep an eye on him.
I didn't even think of that.
Have a good eye on him, you know. And then, you know, they could still visit the family, their, you know, his house. They could stay at a hotel if they wanted, a hotel, Airbnb, wherever. And just when they come over to their house, they definitely know that they're, you know, the daughter and the boyfriend are not going to sleep over because they have made lodging arrangements somewhere else.
The complication here is that they could interpret this as, if you don't allow us to come to your house and sleep in the same bedroom, then you're not accepting us. I mean, that's the illogical leap that they could make. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of what Daniel was saying, which is if you don't say I'll accept that, then what I'm really saying is I don't accept you, which nothing could be further from the truth.
Absolutely.
But that's the cultural mindset now that bullies so many people of traditional values.
Yeah, absolutely. And that stems from rebellion and immaturity, right? That's kicking and screaming. If parents were constantly repeating ourselves, it's just constant repeating. I'm not rejecting you. I love you. I want to see you. I want to see you often, you know, as often as we can. And, you know, our house is open to you, just not that way. And that's it.
So put you down as a vote on Rick's Rick's side on this one.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Marie, thank you. I'm glad it only took you three to figure out where you belonged.
Took me three tries, yeah. Praise God.
Thank you for the call. And thanks all of you. Thanks to all of you for being with me here on the program. And Andrew Krucek, producer man, and Eric Dumont, call screamer man. Without you folks, without the dear folks at Ave and EWTN, there's no program here. And without your calls, there isn't. So walk with God and ask Him for His guidance always.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.